Psalm 37, and then verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Now let's read together, please. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this passage, and what an exciting time last week as we heard of the Word of God preached and the principle that was presented to us. Now, Lord, work in our hearts and our lives again this week. Help us to hear what you have for us today. We're needy people, Father, and we need your help. Whether we know it or not, we need you. So, Lord, speak to us today. Now, for that to be accomplished, we need you to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power. Use him today to help us. Father, we pray that if someone is in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, today they would trust him as their Savior. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Now, I need you to keep your Bibles open in Psalm 37. We're going to be there again this Sunday as we were last Sunday, because we're going to talk to you about what those steps are. But remember what it means when God orders our steps. It means he directs them. That means this. It's very simple. He says, you go this way, and that's the way that you go. He says, you stop here. That's where you stop. He says, now I want you to turn around and go this direction, and he changes your direction. You go that. Wherever he orders your steps, think of it as a military order. You receive an order from a higher authority, and if you're ever in the military, you know what that meant. You didn't ask questions. You didn't ask the reason behind it. You just did what you were told. Steps of a good man ordered by the Lord. Now, remember that when it says he delighteth in his way, it's two purposes here. It means if you'll let God order your steps, you let God direct you where you should go, the direction that you should go. You let God change your direction if necessary. You let God slow you down, speed you up, stop you, whatever it is. If you'll do that, you will come to delight in the way that God has for you. Let me explain to you what that means. You'll actually enjoy your life. You'll find a life of enjoyment. You'll find a life that means something to you. It means you will delight in the way God gives you. I did not say you'll always understand it. I didn't say that means you'll always get all sunshine and roses and happiness. I did say if you'll let God direct your steps, God, you will come to the place in life where you will actually enjoy the life you have. Too many people exist today instead of enjoying the life God's given them. But that's because they live their life their way instead of God's way. He delighteth in his way. Now, it also means this. It's a twofold purpose. He delighteth in his way. Number two, it means this. God is delighted that you have taken his way. Now, I'm afraid that point of this is probably not that important to a lot of Christians, but it should be. Look here. To know that the God of heaven is pleased with your life. He'll delight in the way you take. God will look down and say, this is good. One of my children is doing what I asked them to do. One of my children is taking the path that I've asked them to take. You know that way, when you're a parent, when your children do something and you don't even tell them to do it. We have our grandchildren with us, the grandkids from Santa Clara. And yesterday the girls were gone, and Dominic, my six-year-old grandson, was with us. And he was out in the backyard playing by himself. And I looked out there, and he was sweeping off the deck, rearranging the chairs, and doing all this stuff all by himself. I didn't ask him to do it. He just did it on his own. So when he came in the house, I gave him a vacuum cleaner and a mop and a broom. So you're doing really good out there. Then let's bring it in the house, son. Let's keep it going here. 6 years old. Nobody told him to do anything. He just started sweep and clean and that kind of stuff. And I told him, I'm very proud of you, son. That's big stuff. I didn't even tell you to clean the deck off, and you did it anyway. Thank you. You understand? The God looks and says, so what if he says thank you? Well, let me ask you a question. Do you think that boy had a hard time getting anything from me yesterday? Seriously. I said, do you need a snack? Could I get you something? Drink of water? Shovel? Do you know how to start a lawnmower? You know, stuff like that. He didn't have to. I was asking him for things. Could I get you this? Could I? Do you understand, ladies and gentlemen? When God delights in you, letting Him order your steps, it is about the blessing and the favor of God in your life. He pleases then to be your God and watch over you and help you. So let's take the steps of a good man. Now, last week we went, and back up now in Psalm 37, would you, to verse number 3, 4, 5, and then verse number 7 and verse 34. There are five steps of a good man. The first one is verse 3, trust in the Lord. We talked about that last week. Then the second one is in verse number 4. He says, delight thyself also in the Lord. That's step number 2. Verse number 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. That's today's step. Verse 7, drop there, rest in the Lord. And the last one, verse number 34, is wait on the Lord. Now remember these steps, five of them. First of all, they need to be taken in order. God is a God of order. They're in this order for a reason. You need to start with trusting in the Lord if you ever expect to wait on the Lord. You got to start here. So take them in order. Number 2, the steps of a good man, to take them, the ability to take the next step is found in taking the previous step, with the exception of the first one, and we explained that last week. Because trusting in the Lord, ladies and gentlemen, that's the basis of our faith. If we can't trust Him, we're never going to get to the place where we delight and commit and rest and wait. We're never going to get there. But if we trust Him, that's the first step. But we should be able to trust God. Yes? Thank both you Methodists. I said we should be able to trust God. Oh yes, He is trustworthy. So then the ability to take the next step is found in the previous step with the exception of the first one. Number next is this. If you get off track in these steps, go back to the first. Go back to trusting God. Start it over. Go back to the principle of starting with just trusting the Lord. Well, I got to, you know, I tried that, Pastor, when I got to, like the one today, committing your way unto the Lord. I tried that, and I don't know, that's where I got off track. Then go back to trusting Him again. You'll find that in trusting God and then delighting in Him, you'll be able to commit unto Him and then rest and then wait on the Lord like you should. He's a God of order, ladies and gentlemen. Well, did you notice now, please, in verse 3 and 4, each of the steps He asks you to take, each one, has a special set of promises attached to it. If you trust in the Lord, verse number 3, you'll dwell in the land and verily thou shalt be fed. That's permanence and provision. God will give you some permanence to your life. You'll actually be able to hold on to something in life. It'll matter to you. You dwell in the land and He says you'll be fed. That means His provision for you in your life. Doesn't mean it's a blab it and grab it. You do this, God will give you everything you ever wanted. It means He'll make sure He provides for the needs of your life. In verse 4, you delight yourself in the Lord. What does He do? He gives you the desires of your heart. That means He changes what you want and gives you a whole other set of desires. Think about what your life was. If you got saved later in life, and think about what your life was before you got saved. After your salvation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You have a different want now. Music sounds different to you now. God's music sounds different to you. God's people are different. The Bible is different now. He's changed what you want now. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Can we look at the next step this morning now, please? And look at verse number 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. That's a reminder of step 1, by the way. And He shall bring it to pass. So now look, if I've started over here, and I started out trusting in the Lord. You know what I found? I found Him to be a faithful God. Agreed? Yes? A faithful God. He did not fail me in trusting Him. I failed Him in the way I trust Him. I failed Him in some sense because I put my trust in others than God. Anytime you put your trust in somebody else before you put your trust in God and most of your trust in God, that's going to happen. You're going to get disappointed. But you've never been disappointed trusting the Lord. Never. It hasn't happened. It won't happen. It can't happen. Then I find myself delighting in the Lord. We know what that means. It means to be soft and pliable. It means He can mold and shape and He can do what He wants to do with our lives. Simply put, it means I have a yielded spirit toward God. He can do what He wants. He can take what He wants. He can give me what He wants. I delight in Him, the Bible says. Because I learned when I trusted in him, he didn't fail me. So why shouldn't I be yielded to him like I ought to be? But what does it mean to commit your way unto the Lord? You know what it means? It's the idea of a person who gets up on top of a hill and takes a big rock and pushes it off the top of that hill just to watch it roll down to the bottom. Modern vernacular, bowling. Obviously, they didn't have bowling in those days, even though the old Flintstone cartoons seem to intimate that. The truth of the matter is, the idea of bowling, you understand bowling. You take the ball, control, control, no more control. As soon as you let it go, it's out of your hands. Pushing a rock off the top of a hill, you get it started, but once it starts rolling, gravity takes over, and it's going to go where it's going to go. That's what it means to commit your way unto the Lord. Only we're not talking about rolling rocks and bowling balls. We're talking about committing your way, the way that you take in your life, the path of your life. You commit that to him. Because ladies would say, but preacher, you don't seem to understand. I got control issues. Everybody's got control issues. I don't know anyone who's not a control freak to some degree. It just depends on what they're controlling. Some people, they have to control everything about their life and everybody's life around them. They drive you crazy. You know, you go to their house and they drive you crazy. They have to be constantly in control about everything they do. They're the kind of people when you drive in a car with them, they try to tell you how to drive. They're over here on the passenger side doing one of these numbers. Stepping on the gas all the time or stepping on the brake, depending on who's driving. Huh? We first got married, my wife did that. She'd say, honey, and I want you, you're driving too fast, honey. And I say, look, sweetheart, I love you. And if you don't tell me how to drive, I'm going to take up wife beating and we'll be just fine, okay? They're the control freaks. I mean, they've got to tell you everything about everything. But I find everybody to some degree is a control freak. Most men are just control freaks about the remote control. Pretty much everything else, they really don't care about it. I mean, that's a guy thing. But the truth is, you say, but I can't just, Pastor Johnson, you're talking about taking my life and just letting go and letting God, just committed unto him like that? Okay, but see, remember back here when you trusted him and he didn't fail you? Remember that? Remember when he honored his word and you honored his word and he honored his word because you did? Remember that when you trusted him, he didn't fail you, didn't let you down. He stayed faithful and was there for you. Remember that? Remember when he did that, trusting in the Lord? And then he also threw in a little side thing of permanence and provision. He took care of things and helped you out. Remember that? He proved himself trustworthy. And you took that next step and said, okay, Lord, I'll just let you do what you need to do in my life. I'll let you, whatever you want in my life, God. And you yielded yourself to him. Remember how he messed you up? Twisted your life into a million knots, ruined everything, took all your joy and happiness away from you, and destroyed the way you live. Remember that? No, I'm sorry, that's not the God I have. That's not how I understand him. So you mean you yielded to God and he never broke your heart? Oh yeah, he broke my heart, but then it needed to be broken sometimes so he could make it the way he wanted to. You mean you always understood? Nope, didn't always understand what he did. I just found that yielding is the way to go. Just delight yourself in the Lord. And did you know what he changed my desires? He took an old hippie from the 60s and changed my thinking, my attitude, everything about my life. Now then he says, commit your way unto the Lord. And we say, whoa, wait a minute. Well, then I guess we need to go back to trusting him, don't we? Because you don't commit anything to anyone you don't trust. But it's that trust issue again. We talked about this last week a little bit. You have faith in something, somebody. Why do we have faith in somebody or something else other than God? That's where our disappointment comes. And by the way, and then people blame God for that. Well, I trusted so-and-so and they broke my heart. They let me down. I'm sorry that they did. I am sorry. By the way, please don't do that to people. When they put confidence and trust in you, don't break their heart. Please. However, that's the fallacy of the human condition. Can't do anything about it. But he never broke my heart. He never broke my heart unless it needed to be broken so he could remake it. And now he wants me to do what? Just push it off the hill and let God, that's right, my way. You commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. I like that. He says, remember how you trusted me? He puts that in there. And he says, and he'll bring it to pass. What does that mean? In what way do I commit to God? You know what you do? You commit the way that you have taken. Do you have things in your past you wish weren't there? Huh? The only thing, when people say, boy, I wish I could go back and be a kid again. Except one thing, just one thing. To go back and be just as innocent in my mind and my thinking and my living as a child. That would be a blessing. The good thing about getting older is we start forgetting stuff. That's a blessing. One of our men is in heaven now. You know, he got to the place where his hearing wasn't too good and his sight was going and his memory was getting shot. And he said, Pastor, he goes, I don't know. I don't hear too good anymore. I don't see too good anymore. And now I'm forgetting everything. And I said, well, brother, it was Brother Nearing. I said, Brother Roy, look at it this way. There ain't a lot worth seeing anymore, and there's not much worth listening to. And think about all the stuff you get to forget. I mean, think about it. God's about to wipe the slate clean. Don't you wish you could just take all that stuff from your past you wish you didn't do and didn't know and just wipe that clean so it wasn't there anymore? Don't you wish, hey, look at me. Don't you wish you could undo the past? Now, frankly, we can't do that. But did you know something this morning? If I'll commit the way that I have taken to the Lord and say, God, by the way, you do that by first of all obtaining his forgiveness for the things you shouldn't have done. Too many folks are sweeping things under the rug that don't need to be under there yet. You need to deal with it. Let God's forgive. Go to the forgiveness of God. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do not put the past behind you until you put the past under the blood of Jesus Christ. Ask his forgiveness and accept it when he gives it. Way too many people walking around under the burden of forgiven sin. Well, did you get it right about the Lord with it? Yes, I did. Well, then what are you doing? It's not like we just act like it never happened. It does mean we get it under the blood. Is he forgiven you? As far as east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. God put you and your sins separate and you never meet up with that again. In his mind and his thinking, can't you accept that? You commit your way unto the Lord. It means the way you have gone. Those things that shouldn't have been. Those things you've asked his forgiveness for. Those things that are under the blood of Jesus Christ. That's one of the wonderful things about salvation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You accept Christ as your personal Savior, and God takes all of it and wipes it clean under the blood of Jesus Christ. It's gone. Amazing, incredible, the forgiveness of God. You commit your way unto the Lord. It means the way you have taken. You commit it to him and say, okay, God, that was the way it was. You know, one thing about life, ladies and gentlemen, our past, and isn't it interesting how it keeps coming up over the period of time? But isn't it wonderful to be able to say that's the way it was? That's not the way it is. I used to think like that, but I don't think that way anymore. I used to talk that way, but that's not how I talk now. I used to live like that, but that is not the way I am now. You commit your way. The way you have gone, you commit it unto the Lord. And you get your past under the blood of Christ. You get it behind you. See, before the Apostle Paul, the great apostle, could reach forth unto those things which are before, he had to say, forgetting those things which are behind. Reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark. You can't deal with the present and the future until you've taken care of this thing of the past. Is it past with you, Christian? Is this stuff past tense? Those mistakes, failures, flaws, are they in the past now? Is it done? Have you put it behind you? Oh, wait a minute. Or are you repeating the same mistakes over and over again? Doing the same things over and over again and wondering, why can't I get rid of this? Why can't I keep hanging around the wrong people? What is that all about? Did they kidnap you? Did they hold a gun to your head and say, come with me? Why do we keep choosing the wrong crowd and not expect to get the wrong consequences? Come on now, put your past behind you. Commit your way unto the Lord the way you have been. Then you commit your way unto the Lord also means you commit your way that you are now taking unto the Lord. Could you do that? Listen to me. If you were to give your life right now and the way you live it, give it to God, would he want it? I see people sometimes that say, well, I'll quit doing that as soon as the Lord takes it away from me. No, he'll take it away from you as soon as you turn loose of it. The life that you have now, right now, the way you lived your life this week, this past month, this past year, just since January of 2013, if you were to commit that life to God, would he even want to take it? Would it be something he'd be pleased to have? Or would it be something he'd say, I want no part of that whatsoever? Commit thy way unto the Lord. Look here. God is not in the business of sharing the lordship of your life with you or anybody else. You need to stop being the boss and let God start being the boss. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Well, now we're back to the control issues, Pastor Johnson. Okay, look at me. My control freak friend. And we're all in that band today, okay? We're not talking one or two people in this room. We're talking every breathing soul in this room, to some degree, is a control freak. Agreed? I said agreed? Okay, good. Some of you are so controlling you won't even admit that. That's bad. Okay, we got you. But wait a minute. Excuse me. So how's it going with you running the show? God is in the back seat, you know, God is my co-pilot and all that junk. How's it going? Making all good decisions? Choices turning out right? Going the direction you ought to go? Hey, are you delighting in the way you have chosen? Is it going good? That's what Jesus did in John chapter 21 when the disciples quit on him. And after his resurrection, they had quit on him. After they had seen him after his resurrection, they quit on him. When Peter said in John 21, one, I go fishing, six other disciples quit with him just like that. And they're back in the fishing business again. They were not drowning worms recreationally. They were out there fishing business. They're going to quit the preaching thing and go back to the fishing business. And they caught nothing, the Bible says. So then Jesus is standing on the shore the next morning, and here's what he says. Children! Have you any meat? Modern interpretation. So how's it going? How's the fishing business without my help and my blessing? And they thought, they didn't have one fish in the net. Not one fish, folks. And now all these disciples were fishermen now, just Peter, James, and John. But they were fishermen by trade. They knew how to catch fish, but they caught nothing. And what does Jesus say? Throw your net on the right side of the ship. I love the perfection of the Bible. Throw it on the right side of the ship. Not out the back, not out the front, not off the left side. Throw it out the right side. The right side. He said, basically, he's telling them, go back to doing the right thing. When I tell you, throw it off the right side. Do the right thing, fellas. And they chucked that net off there, and guess what they happened? The place they had fished all night long didn't have one fish in it. All of a sudden, the nets begin to break because they have so many fish in it. And they have to drag it to shore. So he said, how's it going over there? So how's it going, being in control of your life? Going good? Getting everything you want? All direction and choices, good? Everything is as it should be? Everything you want? Is it all going well? So, well, Pastor Johnson, nobody has it that way. No, because we let too much of our lives be in control instead of God being in control of our lives. That's the problem. Hey, listen to me. You and I need to understand something this morning. If you want to commit your way unto the Lord, you need to commit the life that you have now to him. But he needs to be willing to take it. And the only way you can do that is, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You have to give him everything he paid for. So I'm not sure I could do that. Commit, friend. Listen now. Commit. Push that rock off the hill and say, okay, God, you take it from there. Commit thy way unto the Lord also means you commit the life you haven't even lived yet. You mean the future. Oh, the unknown of the future. You know what's interesting to me is that the God who knows everything apparently is not aware of what's going to happen tomorrow for some people. But he is already there, isn't he? The same yesterday, today, and forever. He's already in the future. He already knows what's coming. You commit your way unto the Lord. You commit it unto him, the Bible says. And look at that verse, please, there, verse number 5. Would you follow it carefully? And what happens when you do that? Trust also in him, and he shall mess everything up. You'll wander around confused as a termite in a yo-yo. You won't know what's going on, what's coming up, or as my Okie people would say, straight up from out west. And I don't know what that means. I also don't understand what it means when it says he walks like a burnt toed chicken. Or happy as a dead pig in the sunshine. I don't understand that one either. I got a lot of Okieisms. All my people are Okies. I just grew up that way, and there's things I still don't understand. But you know what I find out, ladies and gentlemen? He does know straight up from out west. I don't know what is ahead of me. I have absolutely no idea. Can you commit your tomorrow to him? Oh, by the way, if you can't give him your past and commit your present to him, you won't give him your future. But he is out ahead of me. He does know what's coming tomorrow. He knows what's coming next week, next month, next year, and for the rest of my life, because he is the eternal God of heaven. He knows all this. So wouldn't it be better, rather than have the telescope of prophetic future to look down the road and see what's coming, wouldn't it be better to trust the one who already knows, has already determined what is to take place? Wouldn't it be better just to say, okay, God, I'm going to commit the way that I take. And the Bible says he shall bring it to pass. I could not have imagined a life better than what God has given me. Couldn't have dreamed it up, couldn't have thought it up. Lying there in a bed at night when I was a boy in a drunkard's home with a drunkard mother and stepfather, and he used to come in and jerk us out of bed and slap us around. I had no idea that I'd have a life I have today. I had no idea of any future or hope or anything that could ever come to my life. I had no idea what life would be. I was a boy in a home like that, I couldn't see tomorrow. Matter of fact, I didn't want to see tomorrow. I just wanted to survive that day. That was all. Go one day without a beating. Go one day without seeing drunks stand in the front room and toe-to-toe fist fight with each other and knocking the teeth out of my mother's mouth. I just wanted one day of some degree of peace. I remember as a little boy sitting there watching Leave It to Beaver on a little bitty black and white television set and watching these people and Ward and June and the Beave and Wally, and I'd watch that television show while my mother and stepfather were in the kitchen fighting with each other and breaking dishes and cursing at one another, and I'd watch the TV show and I'd think to myself, that's what I want right there. You know, today they're saying to people, well, that's unrealistic living and we should be more realistic and show people fighting and arguing and carrying on, because that's what real life is like. We don't need what real life is like. We need more Ward and June. And we do too. I'm sorry. Well, that's not realistic. We don't have to set the standard there. How about setting a standard high enough to reach something where people are decent, where something's funny because a kid brings a frog home. Instead, he wants a sex change. How about it? How about something that's just funny because B falls down and knocks out one of his front teeth? How about that? Rather than two guys who are husband and wife together and having children and all this kind of junk. Excuse me. I lived in a drunkard's home. I wanted what was on that television set. That was the only bit of normalcy I had as a kid living in a home like that. You think I could look down the road and think that one day God would bless me with a wonderful wife and children and grandchildren and life and ministry and everything? Do you think that could have ever happened to me? Do you think I could see that? I couldn't see that for anything, ladies and gentlemen. But he did. And I've just, listen to me, I haven't always done it perfectly. Sometimes I run down the hill and try to stop the rock. Get in front of it, go, whoa, 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 whoa. It should go this way. And God lets me get run over and then keeps the rod going. It's good though. It's all good because God knows what he's doing. Hear me? Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him and he shall bring it to pass. If God is your co-pilot, he's in the wrong seat and so are you. Time to switch this thing around. Let God get back in the driver's seat of your life and start doing it his way. Let the steps of a good man that are ordered by the Lord, that started down here when you trusted him and he proved himself faithful, you delighted in him and you yielded to him, you go back to this thing of just, you're going to hold on to your life. No, man, just let God take this thing now and obey him and do what he tells you to do and commit your way unto the Lord, remembering when you trusted in him, he was faithful and he'll bring it to pass, because he'll do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Oh, you may not get all the stuff that you thought you wanted. You may not get all the trinkets and the stuff of life. Oh, by the way, I find he throws some of that stuff in on sideways. Remember what he did with Solomon when Solomon was a young king? And Solomon went to God and said, Lord, I'm young and I don't know how to rule this great nation. Please help me. I need help, Lord, the king. And God said, what do you want, Solomon? I'll give you anything you ask me for. Now, a blank check from God can not only be cashed, it's quite an amazing thing. And what does Solomon ask for? Wisdom. Give me wisdom to rule these people so I could be a good king and lead them the way I'm supposed to. Hey, Dad, that's a good prayer for us today. Give me wisdom to be a good husband and a father. Hey, Mom, that's a good prayer today. Give me wisdom to be a good wife and mother. Give me wisdom today, young person, to live my life the way God wants me to. And then what does God do for Solomon? He says, you know what? Since you didn't ask for riches and all this other stuff, I'll just throw that in on the side. So if I ask God for wisdom, he'll make me a millionaire? Oh, by the way, you'll be richer than most millionaires I know. You'll have enough wisdom to know how to live the life God's given you. Because you commit your way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he'll bring it to pass. Just get this thing straight. Let's do it God's way. Stop trying to control everything about your life and everything that goes and expect God to sign the charter of the directions you have chosen and commit your way unto the Lord and say, I don't know how this is going to go. I'll trust God. I'm going to put my past under the blood. I'm going to put my present in his pleasing sight. And I'm going to put my future in his hands to guide and direct me. And he'll bring it to pass. He will not disappoint one of his children. Give you some troubles? Yeah. Take you directions you would never intend or thought? Absolutely. But get you in your desired destiny, destination where God designs? Absolutely. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning, would you? So I'm not so sure that's how it works, Pastor Johnson. Ask Joseph in Genesis. Ask him. Look at that book of Joseph sometime. And read Genesis 36 to 50. Joseph, a young man who is favored by his father, is taken by the jealousy of his brothers and sold as a slave. Taken to Egypt, sold as a slave again. Then falsely imprisoned. This guy's going the wrong way on the ladder of success. Slave, prisoner. But Joseph just stayed faithful to God. He just committed his way unto the Lord. That's all he could do. See, that's all he could do, Pastor Johnson. What do you mean that's all you can do? That's the best thing you can do. And then one day Joseph interprets a dream and he goes from the pit to Potiphar's house to the prison to the palace. And God brought him up. He preserved his family, forgave his brothers, and he's one of the greatest people who ever lived that walked this earth. Does it make sense for the Apostle Paul to have to spend days in the Arabian desert? Years. Then get night and a day in the deep and beaten with sticks and thrown in prison and all that stuff. Yet one of the greatest Christians that ever lived. I didn't say it'll always give you everything you want. I said, commit your way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Let me ask you a question, first of all, most importantly. Have you trusted Christ as your personal Savior? Have you settled that decision in your life? Because that's numero uno. That's the first most important thing you can do. It's make certain you've settled this thing of accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. If that's not taking place in your life, this is your moment today. And we'd like to invite you to let us take the Bible and go over that with you and make sure you've settled this thing of your salvation. Child of God, don't hold on to the rock. Don't get in front of it. Don't try to stop it once it starts God's direction. Don't get in the way. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. What would God have you do, Christian? For some of us, we're kind of holding the rock back because it's a simple decision we need to make to trust him by being obedient. Maybe it's joining this church. Maybe it's getting baptized. Maybe it's just taking some simple steps. Well, then commit your way unto the Lord. Go ahead. Let God take this thing now. But you commit your way in him by obedience and doing what he wants. Let's do that this morning. He shall bring it to pass. Father, bless us this morning. Help this invitation moment. Settle on our hearts and work on us mightily, we pray. As always, Lord, our desire is if there be one today who's not certain of salvation, they would come and let us show them from the Bible how to be saved. For Christians today, God, this area of committing ourselves to you, our way to you, this area of yielding our all, it's a big step in our lives, yet it should be a step we're ready to take. Bless what we have heard this morning to our decision-making, I pray. In Christ's name. Heads bowed, eyes closed now, please.